Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week where you download the crazy sheet, you pull us up on any podcasting app you want to be on, and you get to listen to Mark and Scotty talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, otherwise known as my backyard, and Scotty is somewhere mysterious out on the road. Brother, how the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. I'm in Cincy, celebrating the appearance in the playoff. Went to dinner with a Cincy grad, a former cheerleader, actually, tonight. It was actually a lot of fun. They are so stoked. I mean, the entire fan base is, like, so fired up. She was talking about, you know, the game and just, were we going to get screwed? You know, they were, like, totally waiting to get totally screwed by the committee. And I'm like, the way that deal worked out, you knew you weren't going to get screwed. She was like, when Oklahoma State lost, I really think finally in, we're going to make it.
What a wild weekend for college football championship games. You had the Baylor-Oklahoma game, or Oklahoma State game, which Oklahoma State had four turnovers, and Baylor still almost gagged that game away. All about field position. Oklahoma State pitched another shutout in the second half, by the way, and still lost this weekend.
So, Mark, I got several things about this game. First off, told a friend of mine at group text, nice call on the Oklahoma State game, Denson, blah, blah. I'm like, I mean, this team has not given up a point during the second half two or three times this year. I was like, Okie State not out of it yet. I was like, they just got to figure out what's going on. It's like their quarterback can't play any worse than he did in the first half. That play calling, Mark, inside the 5-yard line, and I posted this on Twitter, was as shitty as I've ever seen.
Ooh, that was wrong.
Why? And I say y'all, Baylor, Mark's a Baylor grad for anybody listening didn't know. Y'all dominated the line of scrimmage the entire game. They didn't have their best running back. Y'all dominated. They couldn't run the football at all. I mean, not even remotely an opportunity. And you're going to get in bunch on the goal line and think, let's run right out. Yeah, I mean, that's been freaking awesome for 3.5 quarters. If they would have stayed in spread and the exact same plays they run, they score 2 touchdowns and they cover. That was the worst play calling I've ever seen, ever. And then when the one time they try to throw it down there, it's literally one of the worst play calls I've ever seen. It's like, who's the kindergartner that drew this up with crayon? And I stand by, there are idiots making $10 million coaching football.
You
think this is a good idea. But we've not run the ball. They're dominating us at the line of scrimmage. Let's pack everybody within 10 yards of the football and let's run right at them 3 times. This sounds great. Sounds great. So, oh, y'all stuffed us those other 3 plays and we had to kick a field goal. Let's do it again at the 1-foot line. I mean, hell, first down, they lost a yard doing it. I'm like, well, surely they're going to get spread now. Nope. Same formation. Same guys. Bring out 4 tight ends. I'm like, Gundy used to be a good offensive mind. What the hell is he thinking? I mean, were you not thinking the same thing?
I was really surprised they didn't spread it out and run some kind of an RPO and put Sanders on the corner at any point during those series. Even though he had thrown 4 interceptions at that point, but you're looking at a 5-yard pass. And if you can get him to the corner – and you can eat up the middle dive, then it's either a one-on-one play to get in the end zone or possibly someone breaks open, and it's just a pitch and catch at this point. And that's what I was expecting. Like,
Mark,
and on the fourth down play, I couldn't figure it out. When they ran to the corner, at first I thought he had it, and then I realized he wasn't going to get there.
Well, that's because he does have it if he plants his foot and cuts north and puts his head in that kid's chest.
Yeah.
He does have it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's an awful play calling. But here's the reason you're getting spread. Because y'all are in man-to-man. man to man down there. Mm-hmm. Y'all have got to lock up on those guys. Well, then if you hand the ball, you got to be, because you can't be looking at the fake or slant routes open.
Right.
You got to cover your guy. Well, there's nobody there on the spread. You zone block your guys, take a guy where he wants to go. There's going to be a gap at the half damn yard line that you can get a half yard. But when you man up, they shoot. You got to beat a guy physically when you're running power football. And when you've been getting your ass kicked physically, literally the entire game, because Baylor in the run game destroyed them physically. And it's not even an argument. What they end up with, 60-something yards rushing?
Something like that. It was terrible. Yeah.
Not dominated. You can't say, you know, we're gonna be men. We're going to line up and run over. This ain't 1980. Get in the spread and give your backup tailback a chance to find a gap and shoot through the damn space. It was stupid. It was poor play calling. And I'm going to tell you right now, I scored 2 touchdowns down there. Now, I may not have been a good enough football coach to get us in position to get there, but I'd have scored 2 touchdowns down there. Those play calls were awful.
Oh, that's funny.
Awful.
All right.
That was 7 terrible play calls because he kicked the field goal the first time.
Moving on to the ACC, we nailed it. Pitt covered. That defense Pitt ran was a perfect matchup for Wake Forest in a sense that they run a lot of man. It lets them stunt, puts some pressure on the quarterback. And Kenny Pickett, to me, has just played fantastic. I was surprised to see Mark Whipple, the offensive coordinator, retired without an announcement of where he's going this week. But, yeah, kudos to Pitt coming out of nowhere to win the ACC in a year that Clemson, if they win a bowl game, is still going to have 10 wins, which is crazy to me when you think about how bad Clemson's season has been in comparison to what we're used to seeing from Clemson. Move out west to the Pac-12. You nailed the handicap on that. Utah was so much more physical and so much more prepared for that game than Oregon was. Oregon kind of checked out a little bit once it kind of got away from them. And then obviously this week we've seen Mario Cristobal heading home, brother, going back down to Miami, getting ready to try to rebuild the U, which is going to be interesting. I mean, these college coaching jobs this year, is Jimmy Sexton Mel Tucker's agent? Do you know?
Yes.
Is it? Because yes. Literally, yes. There are so many coaches in the country that need to write Jimmy Sexton a thank you note for getting Mel Tucker that raise that he got him. Because every coach has made so much more money. I mean, I don't know how they're going to afford to pay these contracts someday.
I don't need it. Most of the buyouts are not that big. And that is, you know, like Dan's was only 12 at Florida, and that's the biggest. Hell, that the contract that that Tucker's got, man, his buyout is minimal. I mean, it's less than $5 million. So, I mean, anybody's going to buy that. I want to say it's $2 million, but I've read so many contract details over the last 3-4 weeks that, candidly, they're all running together at this point. And, you know, I've had one too many glasses of wine to, you know, remember all the intricate details. But it's not a big buyout. And I think that's the way a lot of these contracts are going.
Yeah.
And I love the de-escalation of the buyout as it goes with these gigantic numbers. And even Kelly and those guys have got the number gets lower and lower and lower to get out of it if they've got to get rid of them. But they're giving them so much money up front that I guess that's the only way you can justify it, you know, candidly. But I've got to tell you something. I think the way Miami handled that deal is complete and utter shit bird. My dad told me, and I think I posted this on Twitter. I know I typed it, and I can't decide. I can't remember if I sent it or not. My dad told me don't ever apply for a job somebody else has. You don't want to work for people that aren't willing to fire a guy and interview you for a job. Remember that. And if anybody ever calls you and tells you that, you need to say, well, you know, when you got an opening, call me. I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And I watched what went on with Manny Diaz because they weren't going to fire Diaz unless they could get Cristobal. It's the most chicken shit thing ever. And I think I've said for you – Hell, I thought Miami, I think we talked about it on the podcast. I know you and I talked about it individually years ago. Said they should have hired Cristobal when he bailed on FAU. You know, it's FIU. You're like, what are they doing? They're out searching for all these guys. They got their own guy who's been successful in the state. Go hire that guy. And now it's like, oh, let's bring him back. The way that whole deal went down is totally bogus. But I am telling you, I am amazed at how many great jobs are out there. And Luke Fickell making the playoff. He's going to be the Cincinnati coach in 2022. And he's missed on his dream job of Notre Dame. He's going to miss on the Oregon job. He missed on the Oklahoma. And look, he'd had every one of these jobs if he goes for it. Because he's the hottest candidate in America.
Oh, yeah.
The LSU job. He gets any of those jobs if he tries for them. But the dude is going to try to take his team through the playoff. God love him. I hope he wins the Natty. Because he's missed such a fabulous, fabulous career opportunity being everything Miami wasn't in this job search.
Oh, man.
Character matters. Good luck to Luke Fickell. Hope he's successful. I'll be cheering for the guy. I mean it. And what I'll really be cheering for is that regardless of what happens to him this playoff season, that another great job comes up that he wants. That he fits. Because, look, Cincinnati's got challenges. I know going to the Big 12, it's not safe 12, and it's good opportunities. But, man, it ain't Ohio State. It ain't Notre Dame. It certainly ain't Oklahoma. It certainly ain't LSU. It is not those kinds of schools. I hope a big-time job. Oh, Florida. I mean, hell, he could have probably gotten a Florida job if he wanted it. I forgot about that one. I mean, the guy is a good dude. Hope a great job opens up. And I candidly, I'll be cheering for Cincy. And I'll be honest, I think they got more of a chance. I think the playoff worked out perfectly for them.
It's going to be interesting.
I think they got more of a chance to win that game than people think.
Yeah, I don't, but it's going to be interesting. You know, the one thing on the SEC championship, and we talked about this kind of off and on throughout the season, I was real curious if Georgia could win the Natty with Stenson Bennett playing quarterback.
They can.
And Saturday – he did not look very good. And the second thing that we saw for Georgia, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do against Michigan and then how they get ready for the Natty if they make it that far, is this was the first downfield passing attack that they've had to play. And I mentioned that they have not seen a downfield passing attack really all season that was formidable. And they saw it this week, and it ate them up. And so we were completely wrong. We kind of got caught in the riptide on that one, but that's okay. It wasn't one of my biggest plays of the week, but I think the committee got it right. I don't know who else they would have put in if it wasn't those four teams. I think this 2021 college football season, other than the coaching carousel, has been fantastic. You know, you've got a lot of great middle-class teams. We had more teams qualify for bowls this year than we had bowls to put them in, which that hardly ever happens. Typically, you're getting a 5-7 team that gets some kind of a academic waiver or some BS like that to come in there. But we've got a lot of good teams that took advantage of the super seniors to get the kids back. I mean, fucking Old Dominion's going to a bowl game, for goodness sake. I mean, so there's a lot.
Make it rain, baby. Make it rain.
I mean, they didn't even play football last year and they're going to a bowl game. And so, yeah, it's exciting. This week we've only got one game. We got the Army-Navy game, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But quick question for you. So there's three teams that I'll give you that have all, and you can look at in the situation, you can look at it and actually who you think is going to turn out the best in 3 years, but you got three teams that are brand name teams that have all played for the national championship since they switched to the BCS format, and some even the college football playoff championship, that won three conference games. You've got USC, you've got Texas, and you've got Auburn. Now, of those three schools, I'm a two-part question. 3 years from now, how many of them still have the same coach? And which of them do you think has a chance to be in the college football playoff?
I think one of them has the same coach. I think it's SC, and I think SC is the best opportunity to be in the playoff for SC, mainly because of competition.
Mm-hmm.
He's got what I think is the fastest turnaround because he plays less. It's a much lighter road to get to 11 wins, and this year's very evident. That's all you need, really, to get there. Things are going to work in your favor if you show up and you get 11 wins in the regular season and win your conference championship game. You're going to make the playoff, you know. And so I think it's SC because they got less talent. Sarkisian's going to have to turn it on fast for how bad they were. Harsin, I think, has got to turn it on fast because they're not recruiting nearly to the level that Auburn's gonna be happy with.
Well,
and I think that's gonna be his undoing, just like it was Dan Mullen's undoing.
Auburn's record this year was worse than Gus Malzahn's last two seasons. And every year we've been hearing they were gonna cut him loose. Every year they're gonna cut him loose. And Malzahn's last two seasons were better than what Harsin put on the field in this new season. And I think he's got
and you got to mention that Bama's probably going to win a natty for sure once in the next 3 years and maybe two. Because that's a young football team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go look at them, they're pretty young, man. And obviously Bryce Young is young. But, I mean, you start looking at some of their players, man, they got guys that are going to be there another year or two. And, you let Bama hang up a finals loss to Georgia or Michigan, and you go win back-to-back natties, and Harsin's going 8-4. He's going 6-6. I'm going to go 6-7 because they'll lose their bowl game. 6-7, 7-5, 6-6. My brother says they're going to be worse this next year than they were this year. He thinks next year's a tough year for them. And my brother's an Auburn guy. And then let's say they go 9-3. Or 8-4 that next year. That still gets him fired if Bama wins two natties. He's gone. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but it's so crazy.
You better have a top five recruiting class committed in December for that signing day in year three, or his ass is for sure gone.
You think when you take the Auburn job, again, I haven't thought about this until now, but you think when you take the Auburn job, you've got to kind of take into consideration where Alabama is. Because knowing that you don't only have to win, but you've got to beat Alabama, not just beat them on the field.
Dude, they fired a dude who's beaten Nick Saban more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Didn't he have three wins against Saban?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me? The measuring stick right now at Auburn is almost unbeatable. You are going against the greatest coach in history. And I don't even think that's debatable. I mean, I really don't. The game has changed so much under his regime, and he's just still cruising.
Yeah.
Just still doing his deal. I mean, you look at Dabo Swinney, and I think Dabo's struggling with the NIL deal and all of that, and
I think
he's frustrated.
I think Dabo's about to lose it. He's lost his defensive coordinator, and Brent Venables going to Oklahoma. They're talking now that the offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, is the leading candidate to get the Virginia job. And I'm not
I fire Tony Elliott, just FYI, just on my deal, but that's a whole other deal.
But I kind of look at this, and I'm not comparing Dabo and Urban by any stretch of the imagination because they're two very different people. But when Urban won the Natty and he got that Florida team to where it was, that coaching staff was in lock, and they were recruiting, and they had some wild-ass motherfuckers on that team. There's 41 players on that team that got arrested. One of them committed suicide in prison. Another guy woke up one morning, and there was a random dead body in his house that he doesn't know anything about. And then, oh, by the way, you had Tim Tebow on that team. And so he had all that at Florida, that all those coaches that were with him were able to hold together and get them a natty. Well, then when he started losing coaches that were getting jobs, Charlie Strong's gone, you know, Michael Wayne's gone. You start losing guys here and there.
Mullen's gone.
Yeah. I mean, that team lost its luster really quickly. And so it's going to be interesting with this Clemson team to see, okay, Dabo built it and kind of brought it up with the same guys, and he's got this mentality that's his system. If that game can keep playing in the evolution of today's game, because to your point, what you just said with Saban, go back and watch Saban's first couple of natties and his teams of that era to now, and like he has evolved not just in the style of play, but even in the type of player that he's recruiting. I mean, those 260, 70-pound linebackers and Cody, those guys wouldn't start today because they couldn't move like you needed them to.
He doesn't sign them. Mount Cody's playing at Mississippi State or at Ole Miss or somewhere like that because he passed the ball.
Yeah. And that's my point is that he's evolved so much in watching him. And then I talked to a buddy of mine that's deep in the LSU program. And I said, well, what's the sentiment with Kelly coming in? And he said, well, the first thing Kelly did was is have a team meeting, get everybody together, introduce himself. And then he started talking to the staff about, you know, internally, it's like, how do we handle communications within the football team? And basically he said, and I'm giving you this information from someone whose son is on the team, okay? And they're getting this from their kid. I won't get into names, but and said, look, it was real lackadaisical. Like, we had a schedule. If things changed, you'd get a text that may be from a coach or a GA or could be from somebody else that heard it. It's like, that's how it's been working since Ogeron's been here. And Kelly was like, no, fuck that. That ends today. And he said he created the channels of communication that are going to go on, you know, set the rules on what they're going to do. And everybody's mocking him on Twitter for faking a Southern accent or doing whatever. I mean, hell, if anybody's in Louisiana for 5 days and you had never been there or been there very long, you kind of start talking like that because it sounds fun.
Mark, I'm guilty. Look, I'm guilty of it. I have a gigantic Southern accent, and I'd love to – there's times I would love to lose it. And, you know, all of those things. Man, I get Minneapolis. I'm like, hey, man, you know, I'm – you know, it sounds like I'm, you know, half-assed in a Fargo movie. You know, it's like, you know – that's much ado about nothing.
Yeah,
I think it's a guy trying to settle in, fit in his environment. He's listening to it. It's a different deal. And listen to how he said a word different 5 days earlier.
Come on, man.
You are searching for shit. You want to know what I admire about Kelly? And I think this is a good hire.
I do too.
I think it's a good hire. I don't know whether it's going to work, but I think it's a good hire. It reminds me so much of the Saban hire that I can't even – You know, I mean, nobody thought Saban was fit either, you know, and I was one of them. Man, I don't know how that's going to work, you know, and he was fabulous. Kelly's a great football coach. He almost beat Bama a couple of times. I mean, it kept the game respectable. I mean, look, he made the playoff 3 times, got his ass beat a couple of times, kept it respectable, but he didn't have nearly the talent. Guess what? In 4 years, he's going to roll into Tuscaloosa with the same damn talent. And I can't wait to watch it. Oh. I think it's going to be great. So, you know, that's just me. But, you know, and everybody's, oh, staff. Nick Saban didn't bring a single coach with him when he left Michigan State. Not a single one. They all stayed with the other with the cat they hired off staff to stay. What was his name? I can't even remember who. Ty Willingham?
No, wasn't it wasn't Willingham.
Was it Ty Willingham?
No, it wasn't him.
What was that cat's name? Hey, anyway, he didn't bring a single coach. Every one of them stayed. Man, that's hard. When you're a hard ass and you're and you want to, like, I heard somebody say Mullen's going to go be the offense coordinator for the Panthers. I'm like, a cold day in hell. I was like, man, let me tell you what ain't happening. I was like, I don't know everything, but that ain't happening for a multitude of reasons. But that ain't going to happen. He may go work for Saban, but he ain't going to work for Urban ever again because he's pissed that he ain't Urban, and he thinks he's every bit as damn good a football coach. You know, and so those guys are hard. Look, those guys are demanding. They're hard to work for. You know, that doesn't surprise me at all. That's not an indictment of his ability to coach. You know, candidly, a lot of these big programs, the guys that follow are the money bag guys, and you don't know enough about sports and how you don't know enough about college football if you don't know how that's handled. That ain't been going on at Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame is one of the very few schools in America that is not rolling around with a money bag. And that's the truth. You know, I can't think of a single player that I've heard ever a coach say, yeah, we lost that dude because Notre Dame bought him a car or Notre Dame gave him 50 grand or whatever. There ain't very many schools in the South. Texas West that I can't tell you about that. I mean, there's not very many. I mean, I can give you a lot of examples of stories that I've heard, and most of them from teammates and, you know, roommates and stuff like that. I mean, I can give you a fabulous story about Batman Carroll in Arkansas, but that's another one.
A few more drinks before we'll tell that story. No, I get it. But I'm interested. Like, I think the game of college football is getting better. You know, next year you're still the super senior. They're still there, man. These guys still, if they want it, have got an extra year of eligibility to play. And like my friend's son who played at LSU, I asked her, you know, the last week, I said, hey, is he going to stay? And the kid's a walk-on. He doesn't play a ton. And she said, it's all depending on who the coach is. And he'll stick around and get his master's because he's got 2 years of eligibility left. And it, you know, and I'm sure when he saw Brian Kelly walk in, he was kind of like, all right, I can follow this ride for a little bit because we got a good coach in here and we'll see how this goes. And so it's
can somebody explain the Jimbo love at LSU for me? I mean, did you read that article today?
Yeah.
About how they were still pursuing him as late as like Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it was. Why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've watched him down here. I don't know either.
Like, I'm like, that's who you were. That was your end all be all. That's your guy. I mean, you're like, oh, we missed a Lincoln Riley, so we're going to go. Now, Jimbo's our guy. We want it. He's our guy. Really? I mean, that's your guy?
I don't know.
What the hell has he done at A&M besides win 10 games? Oh, I won a national championship, Florida State, with Jamez, who may should have been in jail. You know, I mean, I do not get the infatuation with Jimbo Fisher. I think he's a good football coach. I'll never understand how that nitwit's making $9.5 million. I look every day. I apologize to Beth the other night at dinner. I said, I'm sorry I didn't go into college coaching. There is no chance I couldn't have sold somebody to give me a Power 5 job. Probably two. If I'd been fired by now, I could have talked somebody else into doing it. Oh, look at all the things I learned.
So funny.
Look at all I learned from my mistakes before.
Funny story on that point. When I was a sophomore at Baylor, I called my father. And we lived in this old, shitty two-story house. I don't even know if I've ever told you this story. And my dad had helped me move in. I'm living with like five other fraternity brothers in this old, shitty house right next to campus. And keep in mind, my dad has a college degree that he put himself through college. He's got a master's degree that he put himself through that and got married. And he's got a law degree that he worked and went to night school to get and had three kids along the way. And he's done real well, right? And so I call my dad and I said, Dad, I think I'm going to drop out of the business school. And he said, well, what are you going to do, son? And he said, I said, well, I'm not sure, but I don't think I can pass this accounting class, Dad. I go, it's just kicking my butt. I don't understand it. And he goes, well, what are you going to do if you drop out of the business school? I said, well, maybe I'll just get a degree in history. He goes, oh, in history. He goes, well, son, what are you going to do if you get a degree in history? And I said, well, Dad, I want to be a coach. Now, see, in my mind, I wanted to be a college football coach. In my dad's mind, he heard junior high, seventh grade football coach. Okay? And so, and so he says, Mark, where are you right now? And I said, well, I'm in my room. He said, that window next to your desk, is it open? And I said, yes, sir, it does. He said, I want you to hang your head out the window and keep the phone to your ear. And I said, yes, sir. My dad doesn't curse or anything like that very often, and as I'm hanging my head out the window with the phone to my ear, and I said, okay, I'm here, and I'm thinking he's about to tell me some, like, story of generations about the turtle that rose up and became the kingdom ruler or some bullshit like that. And all of a sudden he just goes like that, this, Mark, that's the dumbest fucking idea I have ever heard. You won't even be able to pay for your school if you become a teacher. And as I'm hitting, as I'm pulling my head back in, I hit it on the window and I'm startled. And I asked my dad, I said, Dad, thank you for that message. Why did I have to hang my head out the window? And he said, because if the phone broke up, I wanted to make sure you could hear me yelling at you from Midland to Waco, Texas, because I was that pissed off with that idea.
And for those of you that don't know Mark's dad, he is truly one of the greatest men ever. Like a true gentleman, great guy. Mark, underselling how successful he was, but just a good dude, just a fabulous man. And telling you that was probably accurate. He did not know that you would have probably talked somebody into giving you a job right now that would have probably paid you $6 or $7 million. I mean, we're still really young. Oh, there's no chance that I would be at least to my second head coaching job. Remember, Ed Orgeron, who took his shirt off in one of the biggest high school, I think they've played 5 or 6 straight championship seasons in Mississippi, has his shirt off in the high school weight room, working out, doing bench press. Oh, love your weight room, coach. I mean, that guy has been the head coach of 3 Power 5 jobs, 2 of the best 6 or 7 jobs in America. He was the head man of.
Oh, God.
All 3 of those schools claim a national championship. That guy can't make a coherent sentence. I mean, seriously, if you are sitting out there thinking Scott Marker, like, no, you could do it too. If you can form a coherent sentence and you're willing to put in the work, you could be making $9.5 million too. Like, it used to be a job you didn't want your family and your kids to go into. And I think, hell, why not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I work a ton of hours. I travel. I'm gone. You know, what the hell's the difference in being at the football office now or being in a hotel room as much as I'm in? Zero. Except there'd have been another zero on my paycheck.
No, that's exactly right. So I know we've got some young listeners out there, so don't deter yourself, man. If you want to be a coach, shoot for the moon. And, you know, work on your offensive scheme. Work on your defensive ideas.
No matter if you're a good player. Go be a volunteer coach. Run film. Go get coffee, do all the BS, but show up for film session, and that's all you need that will put you on your way. Period. End of story.
Oh,
work your butt off when you're a kid. Look at Lincoln Riley. That's all he did. Kid was a student assistant and worked his tail off, was smart. Seriously, from every story I've ever heard, he had no chance to play quarterback at Tech ever. I mean, but at least liked him and thought he was a smart dude. And boom, he's all, look at that dude. That's all it takes. That is all it takes.
Funny stuff. All right, Scott. We got one game this weekend. Army-Navy, one of my favorite games of the year to watch. I always make sure I tune in extra early so you can catch all the revelry of what's going on. And looking at this game, obviously the books have finally caught up to the over-under discrepancy when the service academies get together.
So you mean the 17-4 the last 21 years on the under?
Correct. Yes. I have blindly bet the under in service academy games for years. But this one is, and I think it was 38 even earlier in the Army Air Force game. But looking at this game, Navy Army will play in East Rutherford, New Jersey. They'll play at Giant Stadium. Over under as we record this is 34.5. Army is laying 7.5 points. Navy scoring 20 points a game. They're giving up 30. They're 3-8 straight up, but 7-4 against the number. Army scoring 36 points a game, giving up 23. They're 8-3 straight up, 5-6 against the number. Ironically, both of these teams are 5-6 to the under this season. Breaking down this game, I've gone back and forth all over the place on what I think I want to do. Now, if you look at Navy, once they fired the offensive coordinator, who they then brought back into a smaller position, which was strange to begin with, They've been on a pretty good cover streak. I think they've covered 6 out of the last 8 games in that space, and they've actually won a couple. Now, but Army has just been running the ball roughshod over everybody all season. And I know both these teams run very similar offenses. Neither one of them passes for over 100 yards a game. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's my bet, and you can tell me what you would do here. I actually think the over is going to hit. I think they're going to go over 34.5 points. We may get a little rain, may get a little wind. I'm not sure. I don't want to lay 7.5 with Army. If it got to 8, I would probably take Navy, because 8's going to be a key number with these guys, because they may not kick the ball. They may go for 2 in this spot. Keep in mind the earlier, you know, game between Army and Air Force went into overtime, and it was because of 2-point conversions. And so if I could find an 8, I would probably take an 8 with Navy. And if I could get something less than 34, I would go over that number. So I'm going to be a real big poontang, and I'm going to make an NFL bet. I'm going to put a 6-point teaser on it and tease it down to 28.5 and tease the Army, or excuse, and tease the number up to 13.5, or maybe wait and get an 8 and try to get a 14. But that's the only way I can see making money on this game, personally.
Yeah, I will say that the weather and the wind scares me on the over. I don't know how. I mean, these teams surely have got to go over this number. But then I go back to the Air Force Army game, and hell, they went to overtime.
It was 0-0 at half.
Go over.
Yeah,
and I didn't go over. I mean, this is going to be a fight in the phone booth. The number, it is going to be nasty. You know, I mean, rainy, windy. It is. This just has disaster written all over it. When you said that idea about the teaser, I hate them. Hate them. But I can't get comfortable with this line. If I'm taking it, I'm taking Navy plus 7.5. I think the hook's too much. I could easily see this being a touchdown game. I will probably take Navy plus the points, you know, because they're going to fight hard in this game. I have been to this game. It is fabulous. For those of you, I know y'all heard me talk about it, that have never been, go. It is a bucket list. I don't care how much you think your biggest game of the year is cool. This is cooler. It is awesome. I mean, it's. I just can't tell you enough about how cool it is. I mean, it's just watching Roger Staubach roll around and dudes with medals of honor. And I mean, you're walking through literally the concourse and there's a dude with a medal of honor around his neck. And you're just like, wow. You're just like, wow. I mean, it's badass. I just can't say enough. Like I said, no matter how much you think your game's cool, this is cooler. This game, I'm going to take them, but I think your teaser is actually a pretty good play, because I don't think there's any way Navy loses by 13.5. And I think the only way I can get comfortable on this over-under is getting it lower, and I think 28.5 gets it enough. That's actually a pretty good way to play this ball game.
Yeah, I have not bet a single teaser in college football, maybe in several years. I've got a couple of buddies that love a good teaser. And as soon as they hear this, I'm sure I'm going to get a text, and which is awesome. But yeah,
I'm drunk in Vegas. I never bet.
And so it'll be interesting to see how this is going to go. Scott, man, I love this game too. I'm excited. Like I said, I always put about 5 hours into this game watching it. Looking at the bowls real quick. I mean, we're going to have a normal show next week because heck, next weekend you got two bowls. Now you got 2 bowl games on Friday, and then you got 8 games on Saturday. There is some great, great bowl games. A couple of early games I've already got money on if you're interested. I took UTEP plus 10.5 against Fresno State. UTEP had a great –
coaching change.
Do what now?
With the coaching change. I like that.
Coaching change. And I'm betting – oh, and Jake Haner's, I think, jumping in the transfer portal. I know he is, actually. They announced today. So he's possibly looking at transferring back to Washington now that his coach is there. So they're going to use the next 2 weeks or the next week to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. Whereas you got UTEP coming in here that's, you know, played pretty well. Best season UTEP's had in forever at 7-5. And you're getting 10.5 points. I hope that maybe, I doubt it. I guarantee you sharp money comes in on this thing next Saturday. But I would love to see the public push this thing up of just betting Fresno because they think they're better. Already got money on UTEP in that spot. And then looking down the line, there is some interesting games.
I mean, the Bulldogs and Tech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike Leach playing Tech. You don't think he's going to be fired up to play that game? I mean, I think that's such a great matchup. I mean, they moved State along the chessboard to kind of make that happen. And I think that's great. I really do. I think that's a fab. I'd much rather play Tech from a personal standpoint, not to do anything with Mike Leach, just because I got a lot of friends that went to Tech, you know. And most of them, you know, but a lot of friends that went to Tech. That'll be fun from a personal standpoint, but also from a fan base standpoint, State's going to have more people in Memphis than they would have Houston, you know? And so, although I was going to get to go to Houston, I won't get to go to the Liberty Bowl. So anyway, just a different deal, but I think the best bowl game of the year, and I mean, non-playoff bowl game, I think Ole Miss Baylor is going to be a fabulous game.
I think so too. I don't think Corral's going to opt out. I haven't seen anything that says that. As
I don't
of
think
yet.
You can say kid opts out.
Yeah, and so that,
I'll be he opts out.
That'll be interesting. I think Lane's going to make a hard push at recruiting until the end of the week with the early signing period, and then he'll get his game plan on. Aranda, I mean, heck, I just saw today Baylor has 2 first-team All-Americans, according to The Athletic, on their team that they picked, which I don't know that I've ever seen that in my lifetime. The Baylor team is scrappy. I don't know if the who will play quarterback when they get into that spot because they've got 2 different offenses based on who the quarterback is, but I do think that's going to be a good one. I'll tell you another game I got money on, Scotty. I learned this from a guy that we met a couple of years ago from the podcast, Max. I think you still keep up with Max. But they had a running theory on running dogs, as they referred to them. So teams that can outrush their opponent and their underdogs hits it like an astronomical, like 60-70. It's literally between 60-70% of the time will cover the number. The first one that comes up in is the Kent State-Wyoming game. And, of course, I love Kent because I had them to win the MAC. They didn't pull it off. But Kent's getting 3 here. This team's rushing for 240 yards a game against Wyoming's 195. I think this is a good spot if you get a chance to look at it. And then the other one, it doesn't fall into that category, but the one game, Army and Missouri. Over-under here is 59.5.
They're going to blitzkrieg Missouri.
I think they're going to kill Missouri. If I could get an Army -3, that'd be great, but they don't kick much, and so I think this game could get out of hand because Army's pass defense isn't terrible. And if they could just hang around, but, man, I think Army may just run over Mizzou in this spot.
I think they're going to absolutely pound them. I think that's good. I think that is a fabulous bet. I think there's a lot. There's actually a lot of fun bowl games, you know, out there. I think that Kentucky game is going to be a lot of fun. What is that? Isn't that Kentucky and Iowa?
I think that, yeah.
Isn't that right? I think that's going to be a fun game. I mean, I think there's a lot of matchups out there that are going to be interesting to watch. Now, I will tell you, like the Michigan State. Who was that playing in the Peach Bowls? Michigan State and
I haven't gone that far to look. I just looked at the first
one. I think that game's going to be terrible. I think the Rose Bowl is going to be awful. I mean, Oregon doesn't have a coach. Moorhead's leaving. He's going to have his own thing going. I think Ohio State's going to beat them. They're playing Utah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oregon, they're playing Utah. I think that may be a good game. Who is Oregon playing in that bowl game?
I got to look and see. I haven't gone that far down the bowl.
I think they get boat raced just because I think that's just kind of a mail it in to play in. He's already announced he's opting out. They don't have a coaching staff. I think they get rolled up.
Timeout. They're playing Oklahoma. So you're going to have to go back and reread that whole game.
That's right. That is right. You're right. You're right. I was thinking about the matchup they were showing originally. That is right. God, you talk about a mess. Will you bet on that bowl game?
Fuck no.
No chance I'll bet on that bowl game. Who the hell is going to be there?
Who knows? I mean,
do they even have enough to play?
We'll see.
There's going to be so many kids transferring out. Hell, I heard Marvin Mims has hit the transfer portal. I mean, man, dude, that the Okie has got. Whew.
They better hope Brent Venables has got his big boy pants on, because they've got a mass exodus.
How is that who you end up with?
I don't know. I think, you know, he get the AD up there. What's his name?
They fired Brent Venables.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say fired him. They forced him out.
Yeah.
And now he's their head coach? Oh, I mean, I think the loser in this head coaching carousel is clearly Oklahoma.
That's funny. I mean,
clearly.
We'll see.
The loser.
We'll see.
I mean, that game's awful. How about Okie State having legitimately a chance to exercise demons, make a playoff, and coming out of the box like they came out against your Bears?
Wasn't very good. Wasn't very good.
They were awful.
I like how
awful. Totally unprepared. I mean, I'm just thinking about so many things from last week, and I think bowl season is going to be fascinating. We are going to stick to a few games because we have been dreadful a couple of years in bowl games. And when we stay in our lane and just take the teams we know, we have done so much better.
Yeah, I agree. So
plus, I was, you know, incoherent for the bulk of bowl season last year. So kind of excited about actually being able to battle some games this year.
That will be good. We like having you back from COVID. So, folks, that being said, that's the show this week. We'll have a normal show next week. We'll announce how we're going to do the rest of bowl season, but I anticipate we'll probably have two more shows after that, one for the rest of the bowls and then the other one to get ready for the national championship. That being said, rate us, review us, let us know if you got anything. We always love feedback, funny commentary, or you can just bitch at us and tell us you don't like it very much. Either way, love to have you. We'll talk to you next week.